At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, warm up, Bubby Bo! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Costa Casips with myself, Greg Eves Peterson, now part of the Eastern Family of Podcasts. We've got an excellent podcast for you. We're going to be joined in segment number 2 by Nick Lawrenson. He does tremendous work over at Mid-Major Madness, and we're going to be chatting with him about some of the winners and losers that we've noticed in the transfer portal over the last few days. And additionally, we did see a ruling come down in the last, I will call it 48, 72 or so hours, because it was looking like for the transfer portal for underclassmen, for those that weren't graduate transfers, they needed to enter in by May 1st. But if you were a graduate transfer, you could enter at any stinking time that you wanted to. Now graduate transfers, they do have to enter on May 1st. So I'll give you guys a little bit of thoughts there. We'll talk about that a little bit with Nick, but also talk with him about how we've been seeing some of these teams be able to build their rosters. And I know that a lot of people are talking about, oh, these guys are just going to the higher bidders and everything like that. How about if we take a look at how things are operating with regards to more of these mid-major teams as well? These teams that they don't have such big NIL collectives, and how they're landing talent and how things have been going on that front as well. In the final segment, we saw plenty of news and notes in college basketball on Thursday. We'll give you guys a recap of those. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of 2 ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at @unit_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And really didn't get any Twitter /X questions today, but that said, did just want to just give you a few quick thoughts on what we have been seeing in terms of the transfer portal thus far, and the fact that now we are going to be seeing these guys needing to now enter into the transfer portal if they're a graduate transfer by May 1st. And I do think that that's going to speed up the process a little bit, and it's going to be a good way of knowing what we're going to be getting a little bit quicker as well. These teams are going to have to make more rapid decisions. Now, the biggest thing that is going to be a holdover is these NBA draft decisions, because with the NBA draft decisions, it's very much a roll of the dice on that front. But I do take a look at this ruling, and I do think that it is one of very much, for one, impact, and for two, it just makes it a little bit easier in terms of knowing what we're going to be getting moving forward. And I do think that it's a big relief for myself, for all of us that are covering college basketball, and I do think that this is very much a good thing. And you're going to notice in our chat with Nick, a lot of these teams, they have to offer to multiple guys, and they have to try to be putting like asterisks on some of these guarantees and everything like that. Being able to have these graduate transfers are out there in the open with regards to that May 1st deadline, I think that's going to be very big for that as well. And guys, knowing what they're getting when schools are giving them offers as well. So I do think that this is good for all involved, good for us handicappers, good for the kids as well. So that is something that we do love to see, and something that we love to see is getting Nick Lawrenson on the show. He does such a good job covering college basketball all 365 days out of the year, and he's going to be joining me next right here on Costa Casips with myself, Greg Eves Peterson, now a part of the Eastern Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And it is always great to be joined by this man as Nick Lawrenson does a tremendous job taking a look at this tremendous game of college basketball over there at Mid-Major Madness. I know that he's a part of the Queens NC coaching staff, doing a great job out there in the Atlantic Sun, and is doing an incredible job of trying to keep up with a sport that is very, very hard to keep up with when you've got north of 1,800 guys in the transfer portal. To be able to follow Nick on Twitter /X as at the letter N, his last name Lawrenson, spelled Lorensen, sports on the back half of that all together. And Nick, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Always great to hop on here, Greg. We're entering the home stretch of entering the transfer portal right here. You know, they just knocked down, said even grad students have to enter by May 1st. So this next week, we're going to see a lot of people really pushing to get in the transfer portal. They have no other choice. If they want to transfer, they got to be in, you got to be in by May 1st. So it's going to be an interesting next couple of days in college basketball. There's going to be a lot of moving faces. That's really what this whole month is about.
Yep, and I do think that it is a good thing that they enacted that for graduate transfers, because before they enacted that a few days ago, I know that they were talking about grad transfers could enter at any time. So you legitimately saw someone like a Naquan Tomlin, for example, enter into the transfer portal pretty much when the season started over at Kansas State, was playing that same year over at Memphis. And I do feel a little bit, shall we say, uneasy about that. You do want to have things a little bit more set prior to the start of the season. And I do think that this is actually a good thing with regards to a transfer portal that, as we know, it's been very good in terms of the NIL, what have you, but it has certainly made for a lot of movement, to say the least.
Oh, yeah, I think it's perfect because, you know, especially on the coaching side, it's really tough. It's really tough because you never know when it's going to end. It's going to be consistent. It's going to be nonstop. But at least with this, they have a little more flexibility, maybe go on a vacation in July, maybe relax a little bit. You don't have to really deal with much roster turnover after May 1st. And you can recruit however you want. You're going to have a little availability. You're going to know who's going to be in there. It's really, really awesome on the coaching side. It really helps out these coaches. You know, coaching is a very unforgiving job, and especially for people with families, feel really bad for them because, you know, you're nonstop busy, busy, busy. So this opens up a little bit more. It'll mend some families, which is an awesome thing.
Yep, it certainly does help these guys out a little bit. And I'm not going to be the person that's like crying for these coaches that make millions and millions of dollars. But I think it's also fair to say that these coaches have a lot on their plate as of right now as well. I think that you can feel both ways about that. So that is going to be able to offer a little bit of assistance. And now that we do have these transfer rules that are in place, they have to get in by May 1st. We've, in my opinion, seen a little bit more movement this April than we saw last April. And no doubt about it, there have been some teams that have been very active. I like what Ole Miss has done. Louisville has really been able to build themselves up a roster. Got my question marks with Chucky Epperm, but certainly better than what they had over at Louisville a season ago. And when you just take a look at the last few weeks of guys that have moved in the transfer portal, are there a few that stand out, whether that be a few players in particular or whether that be a few teams that have hit the portal that you think have done a great job?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Louisville. I mean, Pat Kelsey is doing an amazing job. We mentioned it a couple weeks ago. I really thought that was a home run hire. And now that he really has those extra resources, he can go out and he can hit hard in the NIL circle. What they're doing with NIL right now just seems super impressive. They've really built that up over $1 million in just such a short time. And they're getting players like they got Chucky Hepburn on this Thursday. One of two players enter that Louisville program today, but they got a whole bunch of dudes coming in, and obviously they're going to be much better than they were the last couple of years. They've really struggled. Another school coming back down to my level, mid-major level, really impressed me so far is Arkansas State. You know, the Sun Belt kind of thought it'd be a little bit open this year, didn't know, at least heading into the offseason, who I thought would be a favorite in the league, but they've done an amazing job. They added Kobe Julian, who is potentially probably one of the best players. He's a first-team all-league player in the Sun Belt from Louisiana Lafayette, 17.2 points per game, 4.8 rebounds per game. They bring in Cody Head, who is an all-freshman player at Lipscomb in the guard position. Rashad Marshall comes over for from Ole Miss. Joseph Pinion comes over from Arkansas. I really like what they're doing there. You also have High Point. That's another program that has money out of Wazoo over there. It's super impressive, that campus and everything. But they got Bobby Pettiford coming in from ECU. Chase Johnson coming over from FGCU. And I've heard there's more coming for that program. Another one, speaking about Florida Gulf Coast, is Florida Gulf Coast. They've really hit it out of the park in this transfer portal cycle. They got Jevon Muniz coming over from Delaware State. Really was a key reason why they were so strong this past year in the MEAC. You have Michael Duax coming over from Northern Iowa, who didn't really do all that much this year, but he showed potential in his freshman year and all freshman year at Northern Iowa, really shooting the lights out of the ball. And Xavier McLean, who is a really, really smart player from Columbia, going to get his graduate degree down there at FGCU. I'm really impressed with that move. There's probably a whole bunch of other teams that I'm missing out on. Utah State's one. Utah State added 2A Sun transfers, Dayton Albury, who I think is an amazing guard. Obviously got to see him a lot this year. He grows a bunch. And Auburn Gattaritzi from Stetson might be their backup, but he's a tall big man who has a little bit of versatility. Really interested with what's happening there. But so much movement, like you mentioned, Greg, over the country. There are 500 kids who have already committed. And the way that the media kind of portrays it, transfer portal is a bad thing. A lot of these people aren't finding homes. But we're only about a month in. A third of them have found a place. So it might not be D1 for everyone, but a lot of these people are going to find places.
Absolutely, they will. And I'm so glad that you bring that up, because I know that a lot of people, when they talk about the transfer portal being bad, is some of these guys not finding homes. But how much of it is, even if the guy stuck around his school, you'd either be so far buried on the bench that it's not even funny, or he just might quit the team altogether, because a lot of these guys that didn't find home last year were guys that were like walk-ons and guys that were maybe averaging like a point and a half per contest out there in like the MEAC and the SWAC.
Exactly. If you can play, you can play. So people know the worth of that. If you're good enough, you'll have people go out and vouch for you no matter how long it takes for you to find a place. If someone really sees your potential, they'll let a friend know. The college basketball business is all about relationships. So you make the right impact on someone, you'll find a place. It's that simple. Those who didn't end up at another place, maybe you just weren't meant to play. Maybe that's just the way it is.
Yep, absolutely. And I do want to get your thoughts on this team, as they've been one of the most intriguing out there in the transfer portal, but I just don't know how the pieces are going to be fitting. As Nick Lawrenson does great work over at Mid-Major Madness, he's joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops. And Nick, both of us have an affinity for Mark Byington. He did such a good job over at James Madison. He takes over the Vanderbilt job. And I look at the players themselves, and I think that these are fine players. Jason Edwards, top scorer over at North Texas, very highly touted JUCO guy a few seasons ago. MJ Collins is coming in from Virginia Tech. He was a pretty rock solid player over there. Chris Mannon, I like him over at Cornell. But really, other than Mannon, who I mentioned, a lot of these guys come from a little bit of a just slower system in general. As we know, James Madison, they were an up-tempo team. They thrived on turnovers. They thrived on, for a little bit of a lack of better term, chaos. And how do you take a look at the transfers that Vanderbilt has gotten in terms of Mark Byington's system? Because I just look at the personnel that's coming in, and I just have my question marks as to whether or not Byington is going to be able to run that same style that he did at James Madison with the guys that he's bringing in.
Yeah, I didn't even really notice that. You know, you have Grant Huffman also coming in from Davidson, who doesn't really run the fastest style, but Jason Edwards is really your key piece in this transfer portal class for Vanderbilt. He's averaging 18.6 points per game last year at UNC, and he's been a big piece for that program over the last couple of years. See, the upside with him is he shoots a three ball a lot. Maybe he's not the most efficient, but he was averaging 7.1 three-point attempts per game. So there is a little bit of upside there, but you recruit to get guys that can play your system. Edwards is a young guy, so maybe he can adapt really quickly, and it's not something he's done for a long time at the college level. He's only been at UNT for 2 years. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see how these guys adapt. I'm a big proponent to get guys who can play your system. It doesn't matter what they did at the old place, what they averaged. There's some programs out there, I feel like, just recruit kids on averages. They just recruit kids on averages at their old stomping grounds. I don't think that's the way to go. I think you got to recruit people that match your fit. Maybe Mark Byington sees something a little bit different in these guys. Now, Chris Mannon's obviously, like you mentioned, Cornell's one of the fastest teams in the country. Always score 80, 90, 100 points. But it'll be really interesting to see how a guy like Edwards, who played North Texas, one of the slowest styles, really defensive heavy, adapts this. He's been one of the better offensive pieces for that program, though, the last couple of years. So it'll be really interesting to see how that happens.
Yep, it is going to be really interesting to see how that happens. And that does lead into a little bit of a bigger question as well, because I posed it with Mark Byington over at Vanderbilt, me saying, you know what, I don't know if he's going to be able to run that same style. How much do you take a look at some of the guys that are coming into the transfer portal for some of these guys that might be in their first year at a new program to try to see if they're going to be able to try to piggyback off that style or not? Because we noticed some coaches that stick to their guns. Like, I remember when Josh Schertz went into the Missouri Valley Conference. That's back when nobody was running any tempo whatsoever in the Missouri Valley Conference. And you could very clearly see with him bringing in all those C2 guys that he was going to stick to his guns. He was going to be able to stick with that style. And I look at someone like a Mark Byington with all the guys that are coming in, and I do have my question marks as to if he's going to be playing his up-tempo or not. And how big do you think that that is? Because I always do feel like coaches always have the best success when they stick to what has made them so successful. And we see it time and time again. I feel like Shaka Smart might be the best example of that. When he went from VCU to Texas, when he tried to change styles, it just didn't work out so well for him. And now they got back to happy over at Marquette. It has worked out.
Yeah, that's like what I mentioned earlier. You really got to get guys that match your system. You have a program like Chattanooga, though. Well, I feel like they're one of those just average teams. Like, they go out and they get the guy with the high averages, but they are consistently at the top of the SoCon. So it's a little bit interesting there. But that's why I like someone like Pat Kelsey at Louisville so much, because obviously that style was winning at Charleston. He was at the top of the CAA, and he's doing that same thing at Louisville right now. He got Ali Khalifa. He's not going to play this season. Come over from BYU. Awesome offensive program. James Scott comes over. Rain Smith come over from Charleston. They obviously know what they're doing there. Abubakar Traore comes over from Long Beach State. He committed on Thursday. That's another really good offensive program. I mentioned Rain Smith. Javon Hadley comes over from Colorado. They scored 100 points in the NCAA tournament. They're another really strong offensive team. Terrence Edwards comes over from James Madison. Mark Byington, like we mentioned earlier, another awesome offensive program over the last couple of years. I really think fit is a lot more important than the averages. If you're just getting guys that put up good, what, three-point percentages and they're scoring points, but they haven't ran a fast style before, they ran a slow style, that could really mess up their fatigue and it could not be exactly the best fit for them. So I am a big proponent to match your style. Don't get the averages. If they can play fast, they can play fast. It's much more hard to go from, we mentioned it during the season, it's much more hard to go from a slow style to a fast style than a fast style to a slow style.
Yep, it certainly is. And I do think that it is so interesting to take a look at, because with some of these guards as well, when you push them just out of their comfort zone, what have you, I do think that that is something that can be quite disastrous as well. So we shall see what is going to be happening on that front. And I do want to ask you about this as well, as we do have Nick Lawrence, and he does great work over at Mid-Major Madness, joining me right here on Coast to Coast. You're a man that's developed in low/mid-major college basketball over there at Queens NC. And as we know, with regards to transfer portal, so much buzz is about, oh, how much money is School X going to be offering this player in the transfer portal? How much are they going to be offering School Y, what have you? And you're able to go down the list. It's all become about the money. But when it does go down to the low/mid-major level, and certainly there are some schools that still have NIL collectives when you get down to the Atlantic Sun, when you get down to the Ohio Valley, what have you. But how do things go about things with regards to more of the low/mid-major level? Because as we know, the NIL collectives, when you get into the mid-major level, it's not quite what it is when you get into the SEC, Big Ten, what have you. And I do feel like when it comes to just out there where you're at, the Atlantic Sun, what have you, it becomes a lot more about the fit itself, like you were talking about, rather than what school is throwing out there the biggest bag.
Yeah, I mentioned it a little bit earlier. It still kind of matters, you know, especially at this time of the year. We're only a month and a half in the transfer portal. So players are still trying to get their money. You know, they enter the transfer portal for better hopes and all that. So the kids that are committed now are still trying to get the money. There's a couple programs. I mentioned High Point earlier. They have a ton of money. Grand Canyon, they have a ton of money. Longwood has a ton of money. There's programs all over the country kind of hitting, you know, Charleston, that have these strong NILs. But every single program at this point has some sort of NIL. It matters a lot more early on in the cycle. You're shopping yourself around. We'll see a lot of these guys commit. But say when we get to a month from now and you're still looking around, the money doesn't matter as much. And the program, like, I'm looking at this spreadsheet right now. Say Loyola Maryland. Loyola Maryland offers a guy last week $40,000. They get another guy to commit. That money more than likely is going to go down. You offer that kid $40,000, you got to tell him at that point, hey, we have another guy fighting for another spot on the team or getting recruited for another spot on the team. We offered him the same amount of money. If he commits before you, your money drops a significant amount of money. So that's the difference of the high major, the mid major, and low major level, because at the high major level, you offer someone this amount of money, more than likely it's going to stay that same amount of money. But when you're at the low major and mid major level, you only have so much money to play with. Whoever commits first is going to get the most. And then the later on it goes, the lower amount you're going to get. So you're playing, you're gambling a lot more, I guess you could say, at the mid and low major level with your money and the amount of NIL you have, because pretty much every program has at least a little to play with. But at the high major level, you're just set with you can get this amount of money and it really probably won't change.
Yep, I think that that's such a good point that you make as well, and that's a nice little bit of inside baseball as well, because I don't think that a lot of people realize that, and so glad that you threw out there some of the schools that we have seen be able to extend, like Longwood, for example. You were mentioning their NIL collective just made the NCAA tournament this past year. They've really been able to ascend. High Point, they have not been a low point out there in the Big South as well. So glad that you mentioned those schools. And then just want to keep this a little bit open-ended as of right now. What's a program or two that you have your eye on in terms of what they might be doing the next few weeks that maybe they've been a little bit silent, but you're hearing through the grapevine that they might be on the radar for some of these guys, or maybe they came really close on a few guys, struck out, and you think that they're going to be able to have a nice next few weeks in the portal?
Yeah, I mentioned High Point a little bit earlier. I mean, they're not done with what they're doing right now, and they have that money.
Already had a good haul, too.
Yeah, they already have an amazing haul there, too. One I should have probably mentioned a little bit earlier, Grand Canyon. Mentioned they have the money. They're trying to really spend a good amount of money, get some really good players. What they have compared to the West of the WAC, the rest of the WAC is absolutely whack what they have. It's insane. They're going to offer a kid legitimate money who could probably be a significant role player at the Power 5 level to maybe shoot the three ball for them. So you have that. I was impressed, I should have mentioned a little bit earlier, with Middle Tennessee's move so far. I'd assume they have a little bit of money. Asan Mustafa comes over from TCU. He was at Coastal Carolina a couple years ago, averaging a near double-double every year he was there. I think he can feast in that league. We've seen it before with, say, Charles Bassey. Big men really make a huge impact in the Conference USA. Yes, it's a different league than it was when he was there, but I still think a big man that can score and rebound is really going to be a difference maker in that league. They also bring over Alec Oglesby from Stetson. Jared Hall comes over from Tulsa. Jalen Counter comes over from IUPUI. I really like what they have over there. But, you know, any of these schools that kind of have a little bit of a religious background, they're going to be set to do something special in the transfer portal. They have that money, you know, Oral Roberts, a Liberty, a Grand Canyon, a High Point. They're set because they have a little bit of that televangelist money. They have rich donors and rich people that have been to that school, that went through that school and passed through that school. So they're really set there. You got to look at schools that either have a large endowment or maybe a connection to an NBA player that you think will succeed in this transfer portal. When you have a school, say a MEAC school, more than likely the money won't be coming into there, or an OVC school, the money won't be coming into there. Another program that just completely popped in my mind for whatever reason when I was talking OVC is from the NEC, LIU. LIU, somehow they have a whole bunch of, I believe it's Rock Nation money coming in, and they just got Chicago State's head coach to come in and be the associate head coach. But what they have compared to the rest of the schools in the NEC, a league that's kind of crumbling and just inviting all these D2 schools in, is absolutely insane. And LIU, although they've struggled over the last couple of years, I wouldn't be shocked if the next year or two they take a humongous spike up in their play and who they have coming into that program, maybe run the NEC over the next couple of years. So watch out for LIU. Watch out for any of those televangelist religious schools to really make a huge push here over the next couple of weeks in the mid-major world.
I think that they are going to be able to make a nice push. Gerald Gillian, I think, is going to be able to help out as the associate head coach over there, along with old Hot Rod Strickland, who we all remember from his days out there in the NBA. And we all know that you're a hot rod as well, my friend. You do such a great job. Take a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball. you're dialed in all 12 months out of the year, Nick, and you're very hard at work looking at all these moves that we've been seeing here in the offseason. So love the good people at home. Know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, as we enter the transfer portal, pretty much just be updating big moves every day, talking about those over on Twitter at mid_madness and at nlorensonsports, LORENSCN. But yeah, it's transfer portal season. It's going to be nice when it kind of dies off here May 1st. We can just focus about the commitments and not players leaving. But it's going to be crazy over this next week. There'll be a lot of big names that enter, so it's going to be really, really interesting. But I'm looking forward to it. We got the NFL draft, MLB. We got a whole bunch of stuff going on, but super excited for these next couple weeks in the transfer portal.
Yep, it is going to be absolutely tremendous to watch, and it's always great to be able to get Nick aboard since he does such a great job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love. So big thanks to Nick for joining me on Cuts to Get Soup Style, part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, let's take a look at all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Thursday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation,
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Ghost Coats with myself, Craig Eeks Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. It is always great to be able to get Nick Vorenson aboard. He does an absolutely amazing job taking a look at college basketball over there at Mid-Major Madness. It has been an off-season full of madness thus far, and yet he's done a great job of being able to keep everything so straight. He's done a great job of being able to take a look at all of these tremendous moves that we've been seeing out here in the off-season. So, appreciate him joining me. Big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you a recap of all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Thursday.
Louisville had themselves a nice little haul. They were able to bring in both Chucky Epern along with Abubakar Traore, which Traore, he comes over from Long Beach State. At 6'5", one of the most versatile players out there at the mid-major level last season. Not a guy that's really going to pop threes, but 12 points, 8.5 boards, 4.5 assists, steal and a half, and block and a half per contest. He's able to do a little bit of everything. Now, how that's going to be translating to Louisville, that's a little bit of a question mark, but that said, he's clearly got a nice bag of tricks. Would like to see him be able to shoot a little bit better from three because he is a bit undersized, but a man that was able to be a complete stat sheet stuffer over at Long Beach State. He also played with Lucina Traore, but contrary to popular belief, those guys are not related at all. So I found that to be very funny. And then for Chucky Epern, can he be consistent over at Louisville is a question, as he saw a little bit of a drop in his scoring this past year when he was playing for Wisconsin as a sophomore during the 2022-23 campaign. Shot a little bit over 40% from three, 12 points per contest this past year. Was a better distributor. Did give the team two steals, four assists per contest, 9 points per game on about 32.5% three-point shooting. But this might be just the Wisconsin in me talking. It was very interesting to watch him because it felt like you either got a really good Chucky Epern game or you got a turd of a Chucky Epern game. He was never like, oh, it was an okay game for Chucky Epern where he was either not too great or not too terrible. It always feels like he either played an amazing game or he played an awful game. You didn't get anything in between. So that's going to be key for Louisville. But with what Louisville has been able to do here in the transfer portal, it has been absolutely tremendous. Pat Kelsey has a few guys from Charleston that are going to be joining him as well. And I think that that's very big because we have been noticing a lot of these coaches have just flat out whiffed on trying to be able to bring some of their own over on with them. But he was able to do a nice job of being able to land a few of those guys to be able to set the chemistry sort of with Rain Smith and guys like that being able to come in. But additionally, you're able to land Terrence Edwards, the top scorer over at James Madison this last season, Corin Johnson, Javon Hadley. This Louisville roster is filling up quickly, and it's looking very, very good. Posh Alexander is back to a place where he knows very well. The transfer portal, he was a season ago over at Butler, and you could tell that he was just so much better when he got away from Andre Curbelo. Was able to put up 11.5 points, 4.5 boards, about 5 assists, a little bit over 2 steals per contest. The one thing that he doesn't do is he doesn't really give you a lot in terms of just three-point shooting in general. That's always been the big knock on him. That said, I think that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be very interested in Posh Alexander, a veteran that is able to do a nice job of being able to dole out the ball, a veteran that does just know what he's doing out there on the floor at all times. So I think that that is going to be massive for them. And this is one of the most massive guys out there in the transfer portal right now. That'd be Tarzarian White, 6'8", little bit of a combo player who over at UNC Wilmington this last season was able to put up darn near 20 points per contest. Now, with White at the helm, this defense did take a little bit of a drop off, but that said, with Tarzarian White, he was able to do such a nice job of being able to help out an offense that was one of the most efficient in all of college basketball in terms of not turning the ball over. At 6'6", was able to pop it from three at about a 39% clip. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be in on him, as there should be a lot of teams in on Kadari Richmond as well. As we were talking about a little bit earlier on in the show, obviously now with graduate transfers needing to enter by May 1st, this is putting the onus on more of these guys to enter right now. And for Richmond, he's got a nice bag of tricks. 15.5 points, 7 boards, 5 assists. While he was over at Seton Hall this last year, the only thing he really doesn't do is pop threes. He had 6'5", only shot about 27% from distance this past year, but I mean, for his career, he's still about a 34% three-point shooter, so he has shown in the past to be able to pop it from three-point range, but there is going to be a lot of intrigue with him, and I would say pretty much all 362 D1 teams should want a guy that's able to distribute the way that he is, that he's able to, and still is able to play in the post the way that he does as well. Wuga Poplar, this is going to be a very hotly sought-after guy in the transfer portal as well. Poplar last season was pretty solid on a Miami team that was just a big giant turd. He shot 38.5% from three-point range, and it did drop off a little bit towards back half of the season, but at 6'5", he gave out 2 assists, 13 points, 5 rebounds per game. You can tell that things just went to mush when you had all the injuries going on with having Nigel Pack being in and out of the fold, and when he was playing, he clearly wasn't 100%, so that did hurt the team quite a bit, but Poplar being in the transfer portal, that is relatively impactful. So we shall see what his prospects are going to be. The prospects of Kyle Evans, who was over at Colorado State, is heading on over to UC Irvine. Last season over at Colorado State, just really couldn't get a lot going, was only able to average about 2 points per contest, really couldn't get out there on the floor too much. But UC Irvine really doesn't bring in a whole heck of a lot of transfers, and when they do, they are system fits. This is probably someone that is going to come in, not necessarily give you a lot of scoring or anything like that, but is able to give you some rebounding, is able to do a rock solid job on defense. If they have a belief that he's able to do that, he probably is going to be able to do so very well. And they do have to replace Bent Lutken in the transfer portal as well. So this is one of these in the UC Irvine sort of system transfers you trust, and I do trust in them. Toby Okani, he was playing over for the UIC Flames this last season, and he's decided that he's going to be heading on over to West Virginia. DeVries Squared needed a little bit of help, and I do like the game of Toby Okani. This last year, 11 points, 7 boards at 6'8". I still remember about 2 years ago, he was popping threes at about a 40% clip, sealing half, 2 blocks per contest. This very much does fit in with the DeVries style. And for West Virginia, how about this haul that they've got? Obviously, Tucker DeVries comes in, but you've also got a pair of guys from Illinois in Sincere Harris along with Amani Hansberry. So far, so good for West Virginia. They're going to need to land a few more guys without question, but all in all, I do like this move, and I love this move as well. Tennessee, always one of the better defensive teams in all of college basketball. They bring in a guy that's going to help them absolutely man the glass out there in the SEC. Felix Opara, he last season was over at Ohio State. Again, not the world's greatest offensive player. 6.5 points, 6.5 boards, 2.5 blocks per contest. He goes to Tennessee. Seamless fit for them. He is going to do a nice job of being able to really up this team with regards to their post play. You still have some nice offensive pieces that are still going to be remaining for Tennessee. And Tennessee just in general, they did show that they're able to play some good offense while still playing tough, tenacious defense. They brought in someone in Darlison Dunbar who is going to be able to come in. He's going to be able to give this team some nice production on the offensive side of things as well. So all in all, I like this for all parties. And right now, it has been a very solid offseason here for our good friends over at Tennessee. And it's been a solid offseason thus far for Southern Utah. Can't say that they're making like the super duper splash moves or anything like that, but for Southern Utah, they get a relatively solid get on Thursday with having Trayvante Jackson, who was over at Colorado State. He's decided that he's going to be heading on over to Southern Utah, and this is really their first move that they're going to be making. I think that this is going to be the first of many. Rob Jeter is always very active in the transfer portal, but with bringing in Jackson, he last season was able to see some ancillary minutes, and when he got the chance to shoot threes in his 2 years at Colorado State, did shoot about 36.5% from the outside, and Southern Utah last season was just absolutely awful from three-point range, and when he saw minutes for Colorado State during the 2022-23 campaign, he was pretty solid. 4.5 points, 3.5 boards, 2.5 assists per contest, was just stuck in the shadow of Isaiah Jones and all of those great guards this past season, but he's someone that has shown that at the Mountain West level, he's able to be a nice contributor, and I do think that that is going to be a very good gift for them. Mason Miller, he was playing this last season over at Indiana State. He has decided that he's going to be going to North Dakota State. Wasn't really able to get out there on the floor too much, but he's going to be heading back to a little bit closer to his roots. He grew up out there in the great state of Iowa, so he's going to be a little bit closer to home. He's only able to put up about 2 points per contest. He's been a career about 36% three-point shooter in the just limited amount of minutes that he has been able to get, so going to be interesting to see what his prospects are going to be overall at North Dakota State, but should be able to come in, make a little bit of an impact, and for North Dakota State, there's been a bunch that's not necessarily been the world's greatest on defense, so we shall see if he should be able to elevate them. A little bit more on that front. Keller Boothby, he is a killer from three-point range. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to William & Mary, and this is a William & Mary team that they're looking to be able to just get down a little bit of a new style in general, and I do think that bringing in someone like a Boothby, I think is going to be able to really help them out in his time over at Cornell. Shot 41.9% from three-point range. Now, he needs to be a little bit more well-rounded other than just shooting threes and shooting threes only, but for William & Mary, they just need some pizzazz in general. This has been one of the more anemic teams in all of college basketball in so many different aspects of things. He's really the first main transfer that William & Mary has been able to bring in, but during the offseason with William & Mary bringing in Brian Earle, who was over at Cornell, this is a very seamless fit with Earl. I have to wonder if he's going to try to bring over a few other guys from Cornell to be able to help him out as well. But this is a first cog there, and it's a very, very good one to be able to bring in, as he's going to be able to set a little bit of foundation for what I think Earl is going to want to bring in. Because if he didn't bring over any of his guys from Cornell, I think that it would have been a little bit tough for him. And then Eli Wilborn, he was playing this last season over at St. Francis of Pennsylvania. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Was a very solid player for them this past season. 10.5 points, 7.5 boards. It was a St. Francis team that really just didn't have much of anything, but he was able to supply about a block and a half per contest at 6'8". Might be a little bit too small to be playing at really a super duper high level basketball, but at the same time, I do think that there's a mid-major program that would very much love to have him. So we shall see what his prospects are going to be with Dre Bullock. His prospects were heading out over to South Dakota. He was playing over at Niagara this last season and was really a part of a Niagara team that just completely lit it up from three-point range. With Dre Bullock, he was able to do a nice job of being able to shoot from three-point range right in that neighborhood of about 50%, 8.5 points, 3 boards per contest this last season. Actually began his career over at Louisiana Tech, where he was more of a 30% three-point shooter the season before. But when you get with Greg Paulus, he knows about being able to play the guard position and being able to put the ball in the basket. That coaching really did help him out, so that was a very nice impact for him. And I think that this is going to be just a very nice kid in general to be able to up them from three-point range. Chauncey Gibson, he was playing over at UT Arlington this last season. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal with someone that he just got lost a little bit in the shuffle this last season. For Gibson, I do think that if he can just land with the right program, he can be able to see some relatively quality minutes, but he just wasn't really able to get out there on the floor, especially when you did see Philip Russell come into the fold for UT Arlington. He averaged 4.5 points when he was out there, but played a very limited amount of games. So we shall see what his prospects are going to be. The prospects of Devin Crosby, former four-star recruit, he is going to be heading on over to Wake Forest, and that is exactly what Wake Forest is looking to do. These guys that were very highly touted, but they just didn't get a lot of playing time in general, as Cosby, he just really wasn't able to get out there on the floor this last season for Alabama. He's going to be able to get a whole bundle full of minutes this season, as he last season over at Alabama, you saw about 8 minutes per game. He gave the team 3.5 points, shot 34.5% from 3-point range. He's a 6'5", do-it-all sort of player. 247 Sports rated him out as a top 150 prospect, and this is the second of these guys that Wake Forest is already bringing in this offseason. You saw them do this with Hunter Salas, a former top 30 guy. They bring him in and they turn him into just a really nice player in general, and he's going to be joining Omaha Ballou, who is like a top 30 prospects in the class of 2023. Just didn't see any minutes whatsoever over at Iowa State. They've got Trevon Spillers, who is one of the main men over at Appalachian State, who was able to pull in there some rebounds, was able to be a nice scorer to be able to fortify things as well. That's going to be all about the defense, but all in all, do like what Wake Forest is bringing in. They're buying low on a lot of these guys that had some very, very high upside entering into the college level, so I think that this is going to be of impact for them. This is also going to be of impact. James Zenn Jr., he has decided that he is going to be staying in the state of Illinois, but he's going from one directional Illinois school to another, as he was playing this last year at Western Illinois. He's now going on over to Northern Illinois. Now, I will say for James Zenn Jr., he should be able to help out that defense, as he was a part of a defense that was one of the better ones that you found in all of college basketball, especially at the mid-major level for Western Illinois and Northern Illinois. I think the Casper Friendly Ghost was coaching up their defense, as they showed none whatsoever, but he was a pretty highly touted guy over at John A. Logan College, one of the best JUCOs in all of college basketball. Came on over to Western Illinois, and he didn't necessarily pop it well from three or anything like that, but good on-ball defender that was able to supply about 10.5 points per contest, was able to pull in their 4 rebounds per game. Very nice, well-rounded player. This is exactly what Northern Illinois needs. They don't need a lot of flash, but they do need guys that can contribute, and he's able to contribute, and this is a big contribution to the transfer portal as well. We saw Wuka Poplar enter, and now we're seeing Nochad Omier enter as well. He was able to be very well-rounded as a 6'7", do-it-all sort of player that really worked on his outside game this past season. For Omier, averaged 17 points, 10 boards, shot 35.5% from 3-point range. He's able to impact things down low with being able to log at least a block per contest in 3 out of his 4 years on campus. He did not this past season. It was a Miami team that things just completely, lack of a better term, completely fell off the rails for. But I do think that a fresh start for him is going to be very big, and he could be one of the most impactful big men in all of college basketball. So I do think that whoever is going to be landing Omier, they're going to be able to get a nice player. And as we found out from the Miami NIL thing, he does command a relative really big bag. So I have to figure that we are not going to be seeing him going to like some low to mid major or anything like that. Caleb Glenn, he last season was playing over at Louisville and just did not get a lot of burn in general while he was over at Louisville. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Florida Atlantic. Now, you have to figure that for Florida Atlantic, this is going to be a new dawn and a new day for them with Dusty May being out of the fold and so many of those top guys transferring. But he was able to put up about 4.3.5 rebounds per game this last year for Louisville. He was a top winner recruit, and it was very clear that Kenny Payne had absolutely no idea what he was doing in terms of coaching. I wish I could put it any other way, and typically when a guy gets canned after 2 years, I say that it's a little bit unfair. This was a completely justified firing for Louisville. As a matter of fact, it's a hire that just should have never ever been made. Like, I have no idea what they were thinking on that one. But that said, he comes in a little bit of a fresh start from heading on over to a Florida Atlantic team that they're looking for a fresh start as well. Missouri State is looking to run it back. They brought in Konzo Martin this offseason, and they are now going to be losing Cesar Edwards, who was one of their main low post players from a season ago, began his career over at Xavier, where he just didn't see any playing time whatsoever. This past year, he was relatively solid, 7.5 points, right around 5 rebounds per game, but not a guy that's going to be stretching the floor, popping any threes or anything like that. He has decided that he's going to be entering into the transfer portal. If he decides to stay at more of the mid-major ranks, I think that he could be a relatively solid, just a little bit of a versatile piece for a team. But if he goes down to like a very low level, like the Big South, the SWAC, something like that, I do think that he can be a big-time impact guy. So we shall see where he is going to be heading to. We know that Brent Davis, he is going to be following his former coach, Gerald Gillian, and he is going to be adding on over to LIU. It's very interesting with Gillian, by the way. He was the head coach over at Chicago State. Now he's pretty much the head coach in waiting slash the associate coach over at LIU. He and Hot Rod Strickland are looking to be able to get it going. And for Brent Davis, he was a nice ancillary piece this last year over at Chicago State. Was able to log about 9 points per contest, one of the better 3-point shooters at 34.9% from distance. And under the radar, Chicago State was really good at generating turnovers, and Davis was one of their best players, being able to log about 2 steals per game. And that's something that LIU needs. Rod Strickland has not been the world's greatest at being able to teach a team defense. Gillian, he was able to preach a lot of defense. Bringing in someone like this, I think that is very much of impact. So I absolutely love this, and there's a lot of upside out there for LIU in the NEC, in my opinion. And the upside is even greater because it looks like Melvin Council is going to be leaving the NEC, as he was this last year playing over at Wagner, and he has hit the transfer portal. He was Mr. Do-It-All this last year at Wagner. 14.5 points, 5.7 boards. He had a big impact on the game against Howard in the NCAA tournament as well. I believe that he was the top scorer of 20-plus points in that one, but he's decided that he is going to be in the transfer portal. And for Council, one thing that he really doesn't do is pop it from three very well. 26.5% 3-point shooter, but was one of the main cogs for a Wagner team that always plays tough, tenacious defense. They were once again back in the top 75 in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. So I do think that he's going to be able to come in right away, and he's going to be able to make a nice impact. We're also seeing John Calipari just bringing in a lot of his own. Boogie Fland, he was a top 20 recruit of Kentucky. He was deciding that, you know what, he's going to be heading on over with John Calipari, and he's going to be going to Arkansas. We've seen this already a few times from John Calipari. He's got Big Z that's going to be coming over with him as well. I believe that this is the second of the top 50 recruits they had coming on over from Kentucky. Now, we're going to need to see what Arkansas is going to do in the transfer portal, because while it's nice to be able to get in these five-star guys, that's exactly what sort of went wrong for him this last season. So we shall see if he's going to be trying to just land all these freshmen, or if he's actually going to be bringing in some more proven commodities, guys that are at different schools. But he has been able to bring in talent thus far. We shall see how this roster is going to be melding together, because there still needs to be that veteran experience, especially out there in the backcourt. Jonton Jay, he is going to be staying out there in the Mountain West. He began his career over at Car SA, tried to go to Missouri this last season, was dealing with injuries. He just couldn't really get out there on the floor. Last year, he was at Colorado State, was tremendous. He was able to shoot about 39% from three-point range, 14.5 points per contest as a 6'6", a little bit of a do-it-all player. He's heading on over to New Mexico, and this is big for New Mexico because they did recently lose Jamal Mashburn Jr. due to the transfer portal as well. So being able to bring in a guy like this, I think, is going to be very big for them moving forward. And I do think that he's going to fit in right away with New Mexico, a relatively okay defender in his own right as well. So I do like that pickup for them. But the pickup that I like best is every one of you guys that tune into this podcast. If you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Heaps, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what I have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is by Twitter / XMLine at GNN_41. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And big thanks once again to Nick Lawrence, and does great work over at Mid-Major Madness. He joined me in the last segment, and I'm coming at you guys every single day on this podcast, regular season or off season, and that means I'm back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.